Friends, I wonder if I could ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Jude. It's the very last book of the Bible before Revelation. The book of Jude. Shane's having a bit of a rest for a few Sundays, and I'm going to be standing in for him, and we're going to be doing the book of Jude. So I'm going to cover it for you. So if you want to read it during the week, that'll be helpful. But tonight, we're just going to introduce it to you, and I want to focus on the first two verses. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt that I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Friends, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they deny its power." That's incredible words. That's what he wrote over 1900 years ago. It seems as if it was just ready for the Mercury tomorrow morning. He also wrote these words. "The Spirit explicitly says that in the last days, some will fall away from the faith. They will pay attention to deceitful spirits and to the doctrines of demons." Now, my brothers and sisters, those are frightening words. That is what is going to happen. Now, we've heard, and Shane was praying for that, what's happening in Myanmar, what's happening across China, what's happening in our own land, what's happening in Zimbabwe, what's going on right across the Middle East. It really is an indication that what was said is coming true. But the one thing that is also told us is that some are going to fall away from the faith. Jude had an intention to write this book and to write to us about the wonderful salvation that we have in Jesus. That's what he was going to write about. But as he got down to write, he changed his mind. And it was laid on his heart, we believe, by the Spirit, to write on something totally different. And the theme of Jude is be careful. Be very, very careful of those who pretend. They pretend to speak for Jesus, but they deny his deity and they reject his lordship. They knock on your doors. They offer you free Bible studies. They offer you fantastic DVDs and all of this. They profess to follow Jesus. But they deny his deity. They pretend to believe the Bible, but they deny its inspiration. They reject its authority and they pervert its teachings. But when they come to you, they will tell you, open the Bible. Can I come and do a Bible study with you? But they are pretenders. They pretend to love Jesus, but they deny his deity. They pretend to believe the Bible, but they reject its inspiration and its sufficiency. They pretend to serve God. They offer themselves for missionary work for a number of years. They go all over the world. They pretend to serve God, but in reality, they serve only themselves. And you know what, friends? What do we say to each other? How are we to survive? How are you and I to make sure that we are not sucked in? How do we make sure that we are not deceived? How can we be sure that we are going to run right to the end? That we are not going to drift away? That we're not going to lose the faith? George Lawler has written a lovely book on Jude, and he wrote these words. I found them very helpful. He said, no other book in the New Testament so vividly and emphatically sets forth the nature of those who apostatize and the true character of these false leaders. As the rising tide of apostasy mounts higher and higher in our day and spreads all over the world, Jude's little epistle becomes more and more significant and increasingly important to every true Christian. It is without question the book for our time. It's amazing words that he writes. He feels that in the times in which we live, with all these disasters going on around, and all the false teaching, you want a book for today? Get to grips with the book of Jude. Now that's what I'd like to be able to share with you over the next few Sundays. I'm going to take you slowly and systematically through this book. And what it's going to do for us, it's going to ground us in the faith. It's going to show us what we must look for in a false teacher. But before he does that, and it's wonderful to see that, he begins on something wonderfully positive. And he speaks about a true Christian. Who is a true Christian? Who is somebody that's really, really saved? What are their characteristics? That's what we're going to have a look at tonight. So you've got the outline. It'll come up on the screen. We're going to have a look at the author. And then we're going to have a look at the marks of a real Christian. So follow with me in your Bibles, if you will. First of all, we gather and we learn a little bit about the man who wrote this book. And there are three things that verse 1 tells us. The first thing is that he gives us his name. Well, he tells us right away, Jude. His name is Jude. If I may remind you, friends, that the name Jude is actually, in the Greek, Judas. That's the proper translation of the word, Judas. But because that name is associated with the betrayer of Jesus, often Bible translators have consistently used Jude instead. And as you look through the Bible, there are five Judases. The first one, of course, was Judas of Damascus in Acts 9 and verse 11. The second one is a man by the name of Judas Barsabbas. Acts 15 and verse 22. The third one is Judas Iscariot. Now none of those three men could have been the author of this little book, because neither of them are called the brother of James. The fourth one who has this name is the apostle Judas. Sometimes, if you read the lists, he's called Thaddeus. Other times, he's called Lebius. But again, it was not of him. He was not called the brother of James. So who's the fifth one? The fifth Judas in the Bible is this man. This man who's written this little book for you and for me today. He was the brother of Jesus. If you want to be technical, suppose you're right there, we could call him the half-brother of Jesus. In Matthew 13 and verses 55 and 56, it says, "Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" So who is this man who wrote this letter? He's one of the brothers of Jesus. Number two, the second thing he tells us about himself is that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful description there, friends, to think about? He calls himself nothing more and nothing less than a servant of Jesus. A servant in contrast to a master. A servant in contrast to a free man. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lawler again puts it so nicely when he said, "It describes Jude as one bound by love to Christ, as one whose will was wholly and humbly given over to that of his Lord, and whose relationship to him delights his heart and warms his soul." Who was Jude? He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no greater honor for you and me than that. Who are you? What's your CV? I'm a servant of Christ. That's why I live. His will is what I want to do. What he says, that's what I want to do. A servant. A slave of Jesus. That's all we are, friends. That's all we are. That's all we want to be. And thirdly, he is a brother of James. A brother of James. James, you will remember, became the leader of the Jerusalem church in Acts 15 and verses 13 to 21. He was the man who wrote the epistle of James, which we're doing on Wednesday night. Also from the family of Jesus. He's my brother. But we are both servants of Christ. Well, there's the man who wrote this book. He'd had a wonderful conversion. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He served the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this man that now writes this short letter to us Christians. Secondly, how do you define a real Christian? Someone who's a real Christian. And I say that by way of emphasis because Jude is about pretenders. Those who pretend to follow Christ but reject his authority. Those who pretend to believe the Bible but reject its inspiration. We don't want to be like that. Who's a real Christian? Well, there are four tonight. Number one, see there in verse one, to those who have been called. There's the first characteristic, friend. Who's a real Christian? Someone who has been called. Remember Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14 says, "They are those who are with him. They are called and chosen and faithful. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the same thought there. They have been called to be saints. Let's just clarify that for a moment. I know it's well known to most of you here this evening. What do we mean when it says you have been called? We are reminded, brothers and sisters, that each of us, as it is for every single man or woman in this world, is a sinner. We're all like that. We've all gone our own way. We've all turned away from God. We've lived self-centered lives. We've all done what we shouldn't have done. We've said what we shouldn't have said. We've thought what we shouldn't have said and thought. And the wages of sin is death. So that by nature, you and I are spiritually dead. That's what we are by nature. Now we can do fantastic things today. We can invent these amazing machines that are going to Mars. We can make a man walk on the moon. Can come up with these amazing discoveries. We can do all of that. But you know what man can't do? He cannot by himself turn to God. We are dead, spiritually speaking, without hope and without God. That's what we are by nature. And so we live in a world. You say, why is it in the mess today? Here's the reason, the bottom line. Because people are living according to their nature. And you are on that road, friend. And so was I. And we were on that broad road going to destruction. And there was no way that we would ever, ever have turned to Jesus. And in one day, by His Spirit, God called you. May have been in a church service. May have been listening to a TV program. You may have been just listening to someone read the Bible. And as you began to hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God opened your heart and enabled you to turn to Jesus. We sing that old hymn, but the words are wonderful. It goes like this. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And I came to Jesus as I was weary and worn and sad. And I found in him my living head, and he has made me glad. The Holy Spirit came to you, opened your eyes, opened your heart and enabled you to respond to the gospel. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and you became a Christian. Not because of anything you have done. Jude says, a real Christian has been called. Number two, the second wonderful characteristic of a real Christian is that who are loved by God. The most securing factor for a believer, one of the most amazing things for us to realize, is that we are loved by God. He didn't know what to write in response to that. All you could say are these words. He said, and can it be? Remember that hymn? Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The most exciting thing in all this world is to realize that God really loves me. Some of you may have read the book called Run, Baby, Run. So it's a terrific story. So one of the older Christian books now goes back to the 1960s when a man by the name of David Wilkinson was working in New York. And David Wilkinson had a great ministry to reach drug addicts in New York for the gospel. And he started Teen Challenge. And the leader of one of the gangs was a man called Nicky Cruz. And I've had the privilege of going to meetings with Nicky Cruz. And he tells us, David Wilkinson used to come to that little hovel where he used to live. And Nicky Cruz hated him. He couldn't stand David Wilkinson. And every day David Wilkinson would go knock on his door and say, Nicky, God loves you. And he'd swear at him and curse at him and all the rest. Come back the next day. Nicky, God loves you. And one thing led to another. And they had a big crusade and David Wilkinson said, Nicky, I want you to come. And I want you to come with your gang. And they sat right in the front. And when they made the appeal, Nicky Cruz came forward. And the people laughed at him. He was the big drug lord, the big leader, the big man, the big muncher. But he changed. And he travels the world as an evangelist. But you know what stirred him? Was that incredible thought that God does love me. And that his dear son loved me enough to die on the cross for my sin. Remember 1 John put it like this, how great the love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Even in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. A real Christian is called by God. They've put their faith and trust in Christ, and they are loved by a wonderful God. What's the third great truth of a real Christian? See verse 1, it's all there. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father, and here's number 3, and kept by Jesus Christ. They are kept by Jesus Christ. So they are called, they are loved, and they are kept. What can be more encouraging than that? For all the years ahead of you and of me, if we are real Christians this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ says, no one will ever be able to pluck you out of my hand. No one. You will be kept by Jesus right to the end. But you get pretenders. And the pretenders will pretend to love Christ. And we may hear of them. And they'll leave our churches and they'll go back into the world. And then you'll hear people say, oh, so-and-so used to be a Christian, but they're not anymore. No, that's not true. You get pretenders. Pretenders come and pretenders go. They pretend to love Christ. They pretend to love the Bible. They pretend to follow God. But they pretenders. The pretenders will come and the pretenders will go. But a real Christian goes right to the end. Why? Because they're strong? No. Because they have a quiet time? No. Because they've got lots of faith? No. Because they pray? No. These are all wonderful things. But they will go right to the end because they are kept by Christ. Through all of life, kept. Kept by Christ. No one will take a real Christian away from Jesus. And then just lastly, number four, Jude tells us in verse 2, we are blessed, called, loved, kept, and verse 3, we are blessed. What does he say there in verse 2? Mercy, peace, and love. How is a child of God blessed, friends? Well, there's the first one. He says we are blessed with mercy. Mercy. Remember the book of Hebrews? Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. And when a Christian sins, does Jesus kick us away? No. There's mercy. There's mercy when you fail. There's mercy when you fall. There's mercy where a gracious, loving God will come to his children who have fallen and extend mercy. Think of David. He could appeal to no one. He had murdered. He had committed adultery. He had lied. He had stolen. And he was a man of God. And where could he go? His conscience was killing him. All he could appeal to was the mercy of God. And that's where he went. And he found forgiveness. He found forgiveness. And that's what you and I are blessed with. Praise God for his mercy. Two, the true Christian is blessed with peace. If we've got mercy for the failures, we've got peace for the circumstances. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Remember in Romans, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And Philippians, we did that, remember last year, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. The Christian has peace. Suddenly they retrenched, or they told they've got cancer, or they told the things that are common today. The real Christian has peace. It's in the hands of God. My Father is in control. My Father will guide me. He'll keep me. He'll take me through. There is peace. The pretenders crumble and crash. But a real Christian stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace. For those of you who were able to be with us this morning, we sang that lovely hymn, in heavenly love abiding, in heavenly love abiding. When we are abiding in the love of Jesus Christ, we fear nothing. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me. Can I be dismayed? There is mercy. There is peace. And there is love. There is love. The love of Jesus has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And now we're able to go into a world that's hurting, and we can show the amazing love of Jesus Christ. There are pretenders all around you, my friends. All around us. Pretenders. Pretenders. In the coming Sundays, we'll show you what marks their lives and what is going to happen to them. But Jude says, let me tell you of a real Christian. A real Christian is called, loved, kept, blessed. Oh, my friend, have you become a Christian like that? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you really? Have you been born again? Saved by trusting in what Christ did for you? Maybe you've never done that. Why don't you speak to Shane or maybe myself? We'd love to help you become a real Christian. If you are a real Christian, praise God for that. You were called, loved, kept, and blessed. Let's pray together as we go. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. Every word is so rich and so wonderful for us. Thank you for this reminder that Jude gives us of all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we are thankful. And we long in return to live a life that's effective for the gospel. Thank you that through all that we go through, we are loved by God, kept by Jesus, blessed with mercy and peace and love. Help us in this coming week to shine for you, Lord. And now we pray that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with each one of you, both now and forevermore. Amen.